live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, you wonderful, wonderful, dare I say, beautiful people. We are back indeed with a Sunday service, and what we are going to talk about today is indeed ghosts, because this is the standard weekend episode. We have a plethora, I love the word, I think you do too, a plethora of amazing ghost stories to get through today. And I am exceptionally excited and happy and proud to say, if you're a member of the Facebook group, you will have seen this week that one of our members over there on the old facebook.com/talkaboutghosts, Riley, put a thing on saying, who wants to hear my dad's terrifying story? He's not really into ghosts and he doesn't really want to share it. But if I show him the comments from the page, then maybe he will. And in our hundreds, well, in our tens at least, we all said, please get him to share the story. Please get him to share the story. Big news break. I have that story and it's ace, and we're going to be hearing that. It's going to jump the queue. I know we normally do these 2 weeks in advance, as in like I'm reading stories that were sent in 2 weeks ago. However, I think we can all agree we want to hear this story. So in the second half of this show, we're going to be hearing Riley's story. And I, for one, can't wait. Well, Riley's dad's story, should I say. I, for one, cannot wait. Also got some big announcements to make. They're not that big, but I think they're pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. Hey, get off my car. I'm cool. Anyway, cool announcements to make. Number one, we know that we're doing the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghost episodes twice a week. Normally, me and Becca just chatting the breeze, not talking about ghosts, just trying to keep everyone entertained and also giving us something to do during these times. Now, as all these, hopefully, situations that we're in with the C word lift a bit, we're probably going to move them to maybe one a month. Or maybe one every 2 weeks of the Don't Need to Talk About, just because we enjoy doing them. The bigger news is, to replace the other two times per month that those shows aren't on, what I'm going to do is we're going to do a new feature, which will come out probably back end of next month, be twice a month that we're doing it, midweek. It's going to be called We Need to Talk About Ghosts Dark. Yes, it is. Now, what we're going to do in those little episodes is we're going to take a more serious approach and we're going to try and really genuinely, almost like a bedtime story, or, you know, something where hopefully you can have a laugh on these episodes that we put out and you can listen and just have a little chuckle to yourself. But it got me thinking, you know what? At its core, we all love a good scare, don't we? So I'm going to start putting out twice a month from the back end of next month, probably. See where we're all at worldwise. We need to talk about ghosts dark. Yeah. And it's going to be zero humor in it. I'm literally going to be telling you terrifying true ghost stories. Or if not terrifying true ghost stories, we're going to be doing some like research, you know, like maybe trying to do some EVPs or something. Or I'll do that through the week and then collate it into one like 30 minute episode and we see if anything spooky has happened. Either way, there'll be no humor in them. They're just going to be stuff that you can put on overnight, maybe when you fall into sleep and scare the living bejesus out of yourself. I know these stories should that you hear in the general episodes, but, you know, just something a little bit with a bit more of an edge, I think. Just as a little, you know, another arm to the tree, shall we say, branch even. Okay, so there's a few announcements out of the way. Without any further ado, I think I'd like to say thank you to all of our wonderful patrons who literally at this time in our lives are literally keeping the show, not only the show going, but they're also keeping our electricity bill going as well. Yeah, thank you very much for that. But we want to say a special thank you to our new patrons. And we've had three new patrons this week. We have Imogen Sibthorpe, Deborah Ware, and Shell Johnson Osborne. Thank you very much, guys. So you will be getting all the extra content that we put on there. As you probably know by now, anytime we put an episode out on the standard feed, we also put a complimentary episode up on the Patreon feed. It's standard that it's me and Becca just shooting the breeze or talking. On a weekend, we tend to talk about the paranormal. Midweek, we have another ramble. Anyway, you three guys, you're owed a song. So let's do it. The guitar's out. You know what? This week, use a songwriter's dream because all your names have five syllables. Yes. So that should be relatively easy. Let's go. Imogen Sibthorpe, Deborah Ware, and Shell Johnson Osborne. Imogen Sibthorpe, Deborah Ware, and Shell Johnson Osborne. thank you. You're keeping the lights on, and I want to say thank you very much. Don't end on a minor sun, end on a beautiful seventh. Ending on a seventh. And a seventh sun. Oh, how very paranormal. But thank you guys for your patronage. If you'd like to become a patron, and indeed you get your name sung out, who wouldn't want that? Many people. Go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. And there you can sign up and hear all of the extra content that's there in. Anyway, should we do some weekend weirdness? I think we shall.
Weekend weird.
Yes, it's indeed time to look at what weird things have been happening in the news this week. And this week we have a ghost story. Yes, a ghost has been sighted. Or seen, what would you say? Sought? No, sighted. Yes, a ghost sighting in the London town of New Addington. Now, you may have heard this tale before, but it's been seen again. Bomb, bomb. Yes, the story goes that sometime during the Second World War, a German fighter plane was shot down during an air battle above Croydon. Now, the plane went down, the pilot ejected and landed in New Addington. He was badly injured and taken to a local hospital, but he died and succumbed to his injuries. Well, he didn't die and succumb. He succumbed to his injuries and died, basically. Now, 75 years since, some people have reported seeing the pilot's ghost in New Addington, particularly in Queen Elizabeth's Drive. Now, the story goes that a man was looking for his wallet in Queen Elizabeth's Drive when it was handed back to him by the ghost of the pilot. The man apparently had a foreign accent and was wearing a German flying jacket. And he disappeared straight after handing back the wallet, which I think we can all agree would be bloody terrifying, wouldn't it? One theory goes that the pilot's grateful for the way he was treated whilst being looked after in New Addington before going to hospital. So perhaps handing back the wallet was his way of saying thank you. Which is a lovely story, isn't it? And I wonder if he'd like our German midpoint. Is that bad taste? Probably. Anyway, that's enough for this week's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
So, we are back, yes, and we're going to tell some amazingly spooky stories. Hey, you know what I noticed this week? Did I tell you I've been watching Hellier? And I suggest you all watch it because it's bloody amazing. It's about the Hopkinsville Goblin case, but then it goes much deeper than that. It's very good. Anyway, the two lead investigators in that, Dana and Greg, it turns out they're paranormal researchers, obviously, because, you know, they're hunting goblins, for Christ's sake. But also, they actually have a website called Week in Weird. So I'm expecting a cease and desist anytime soon. What are the odds of that? You know, people using alliteration to use the paranormal, I don't know. But I may have to stop that because I think they had it a touch before me by maybe like a decade or something. So we may have a new segment coming up very soon if the lawyers have anything to say on the matter. Anyway, should we get to your wonderful stories? And can I just say this week they are bloody fantastic. And our first email comes in from the wonderfully named Danica Barajas. What a name. They write, "Hey Kevin Becker, hey."
Hey.
"I'm a huge fan of the show and I have to say I love the extras that the two of you have been doing for us." Oh, thank you very much. "Trying to put out content for your listeners to keep their minds occupied with things other than the state of the world currently is so kind, and personally it means a lot to me, as I'm sure it does to many of your other friends out there." Oh, you know what? Thank you very much. I mean, we don't do it for the plaudits. We do. We absolutely bathe in them. No, thank you very much. I sincerely mean that. Okay, on to what this email is really about. Ghost stories. Here we go then. We're going to start your story now. "I will start by saying that personally, I have only had a few first-hand experiences, a lot of which occurred when I was younger, making the details a bit fuzzy. But obviously I remember a lot of stories that have been told to me by family members and friends over the years. To start, I will give a bit of background by saying my mum works in the Parks and Recreation Department for a small Los Angeles city. I will keep the people mentioned anonymous and refer to them by initials. My mum has worked at a few of the parks in the city, and has heard different stories about them all being haunted, as well as experiencing things firsthand. But this story isn't about the parks. It's about the campsite the city runs a couple of hours away from LA, in the San Bernardino Forest. A campsite that has been up and running upwards of 20 years, and one that myself and my family have been to many times, in brackets, including as a child unaccompanied by my parents. I started attending the camp without my parents when I was around 9. Don't get me wrong, these trips weren't without any adult supervision. Usually, these trips consisted of a large group of kids, ranging from 9 to 14, and a group of about 5 counsellors. The kids were separated by age group and gender and placed in cabins, assigned a counsellor, and had loads of activities planned for them throughout the span of about 4 days. Of course, during this time, when kids are able to let their imaginations run wild in the mountains, some kids start to tell scary stories and spread gossip about things that happened on the campsite. This led to a lot of drama, usually. Anyway, fast forward to last year. My mum invited myself and a few other family members up to a camp for a long holiday weekend. There was just been a recent change of staff, meaning the camp got a new director, who my family knew very well and liked. In brackets, the city that runs the camp is very small and everyone knows everyone. One night, my family was all having a low-key night at the campsite when we decided to take a dip in the jacuzzi. We happened to see the camp director, T, by the pool, with her boyfriend, M, and twin sister, G. We all sat around and chatted, my group included myself, my sister, V, cousin, K, and their boyfriend, J. Okay, guys, I know that's a lot of initials to take in, and I've just tried to do this story the justice it deserves. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, where as Danica has put the initials in, I'm going to try and substitute them for the people they are. So, for example, T is the camp director, M is the camp director's boyfriend, G, camp director's twin sister, etc. I'm going to try and say what they are, you know, instead of the initials, because otherwise it might get a little bit lost and I don't want to invalidate the story. But I also could make many mistakes because it's like a little puzzle. But it should keep us all on our toes, I feel. Anyway, should we crack on? So they're the list of people that we've got. I'll just run down them again in case you want to try and play along at home. So we've got T, who's the camp director, M, who's the camp director's boyfriend, G, who's the camp director's twin sister, V, who's Danica's sister, K, who's Danica's cousin, and J, who's Danica's cousin's boyfriend. Are you with me? Clear as mud? Right, okay. Hopefully I'm going to do this story justice now. Okay, let's see. Let's see how we get on. My sister, after about 20 minutes of general small talk and jokes, pipes up. So, camp director, do you have any ghost stories? I stifled a laugh, thinking nobody would take her seriously. The camp director's boyfriend suddenly became a little more serious, and he looked at the camp director and said, well, you'll have to tell them now. At this point, I wasn't sure how to react. It's not every day that a campfire story gets such confirmation. The whole group closed in a little as the camp director lowered her voice. She proceeded to tell us that there had been a fire on the campsite many years ago, before the city used it as a community site. More than once, people, in brackets, not just kids on overnight camping trips, described seeing a pair of blue eyes watching them inside their cabin. People have also claimed to experience knocking and belongings being misplaced in their cabin when no one had been inside. She details some things that she had experienced personally, sometimes with her crew of staff. Even the camp director's boyfriend said he'd experienced these things, doors closing when no one was near, and their personal mini fridge being unplugged when no one had been in their cabin. Anyway, now that the story is as long as it is, I will finish with this fun detail. The camp director and the camp director's twin, as I mentioned before, are twins. Oh, I've spoiled that by replacing the initials. Anyway, the twin sister wasn't actively participating in our chat in the jacuzzi and was about 10 feet away with my mum. When the camp director and her boyfriend started sharing stories with us, the twin sister shouted over at us, camp director, are you telling ghost stories? She wasn't close enough to hear us, and the camp director made sure to keep her voice down so none of the nearby patrons could hear. They joke about having twin telepathy, and experiencing that, as well as confirmation to all the other stories, made for a spooky night. Thanks again for all the amazing content, and keep up the great work, you too. Best, Danica. Why, thank you, Danica. V, K and J didn't even come into it. Oh, I ripped that all down and everything. No, seriously though, I do like that. I like these stories because I've been, as I say, I'm banging on about this, but I've been watching Hellier and I suggest you all try and find it. It's on YouTube actually, the full series. So I'm really about Americana deep woods, cabins, nature spirits, all that sort of jazz. I'm really into that at this very time in my life. So what an amazing story. Blue eyes, eh? Maybe some sort of electricity spirit. I don't know. Who the devil am I? What story, though? Thank you very much. Let's have another. Now, you may recall a few weeks ago, we had an amazing story in by Kim Smith. And we did say to her, if you have any more, send them in. Well, guess what she's done? That's right. She hasn't bothered to... Only missing, she has. She sent in another story and it's called It's Another Long One. Oh, misses. And it says, hello, Kevin. Hi. Thanks so much for reading out my story a few weeks back. It was odd listening to my words broadcast over the airwaves. I've never sent anything to a podcast before, but I'm so glad it was with you that I shared it with. I really look forward to listening to your show. Thank you so much for what you're doing to keep us entertained. I love it and I hope you go from strength to strength. Aw, thank you very much. I told you I have lots of stories and you asked for more. I did. So here is one from the house we still live in. In brackets, you might want to read through though and edit out my irrelevant info. There is no such thing as irrelevant info in a ghost story, Kim. Well, depends who's saying it really. I mean, I've got a lot of waffle when I tell mine, as you can imagine. Anyway, your story. Our house has a troubled history. It was built in the late 1800s and was used as a shop until the 1970s. After that, it was owned by the local authority and used as a halfway house for those down on their luck, and so had a lot of occupants. Lots of them were troubled teens, and I even heard of one man who was into the occult practices who lived here and was brutally murdered on the hills near our house. After that, the place was bought and fixed up, but the builder split with his partner and sold it to a guy who ended up in financial difficulty and the house was repossessed. When we moved here, the house had been empty for a couple of years and it was absolutely riddled with goings-on. This is common with property that stands unoccupied. Over time, the spirits can move in. I was born as sensitive and I'm quite used to dealing with the spirit world. My husband and I, both the same. We've had some interesting times over the years. It's taken me years to clear this house and I still have to occasionally, but not often as I used to. It's pretty much fine now. There used to be a blackness here. It was solid, large, but shapeless. It mainly lived on the third floor where the kids' rooms are, and it caused all sorts of problems. It stank too, like rotten meat and shite. The smell would come and go. Not only up there, it moved to different rooms. It would stand over my kids in their beds. They wouldn't go upstairs alone, always asking one another to go with them. It would bang on the floors and walls. Many times I went up to tell the kids off because it sounded like furniture being dragged, and I'd find them asleep. It once banged on the floor with what sounded like a big metal pipe, so loud it vibrated. I've heard growls in the corridor in the night. I'd hear it moving around and outside my room and feel it there, but nothing to see. The house was always dark. Yeah, I know it's a valley, but I mean this was not normal. You'd open the door and immediately feel like crap. My eldest went to the kitchen in the night and saw a girl. She described her to me and what she was wearing. And just a few weeks later, a friend who had stayed in the house before we had it told me they'd seen a girl here. She was dressed and looked the same as my daughter described, but I hadn't told my friend anything about it. There were several spirits here and they would come and go. My sister-in-law was outside and saw a man stood looking out the bathroom window. When she came in, she asked who was here. I was reading to my youngest in bed and we both saw a figure walk across the room. I didn't mention it, but she said to me, "Did you see that?" I've had light bulbs explode and shatter me with glass, the filaments burning the carpet. I've seen things move in front of my eyes. Lights turn on and off. I've seen solid balls of light disappear into the ceiling. My husband used to work away during the week, so I was alone a lot. I once went without sleep for 2 weeks because it would terrorise me in the night, and I almost sold the house because I couldn't take it anymore. One night I was alone on the sofa, about to go up, when I felt something come down the stairs. I couldn't see the stairs, but I knew it was there, and I didn't want to see it, so I stayed on the sofa. I had a direct view across the hall to the kitchen door, where a wind chime was hanging. Suddenly, I saw there a human-sized shape and the chime started playing a tune. I don't mean like a wind chime tinkles. It played an orchestrated melody as I watched individual chimes move whilst the others stayed still. My eyes like saucers and the change in pressure, I felt like I was going to pass out. I called out, "No thank you, don't do that." Bloody hell, this is one of the most terrifying stories that I've read in a long time. you're experiencing it, and you shout out, no, thank you, don't do that. No, naughty, naughty demon, no. And I saw that shape shrink down to the size a bit bigger than a football, come round the doorframe and stop in front of my knees before disappearing. Except it was still there, colder than ice and just as solid, but I couldn't see it. I felt it all round with my hands. It was a solid, ice-cold ball. I was texting my mother-in-law by then, freaking out. She was also having strange things happen at her place at exactly the same time. An electric alarm clock that was unplugged started going off and the dog was growling at it. The day after, I tried every experiment under the sun to recreate what happened with the wind chime. No way could I make it happen. Lots more things happened here. Cupboards banging in the night, things going missing and turning up in places that had either been searched over or were impossible to get to. Like when my husband's work van keys went missing and were found in a cupboard that was blocked off by very heavy boxes that were there all weekend and hadn't been moved since before he locked the van. Too heavy for even me to move, so it definitely wasn't one of the kids. And on top of them, in the cupboard, was a phone that had been missing for a couple of weeks. Sometimes I could demand missing items be returned and they'd be there a few minutes later, when I turned around, other times not so. All this and more happened here, but it's several years ago now. I've actually faced and fought demons to clear this house. In brackets, that's a whole other story, and thankfully I won. Would you mind please, Kim, sending those stories in as well? Yeah, that'd be great if you could. Ghost Podcast here, needing this sort of shit. Thank you very much. It feels beautiful now and is light. I walk around in the dead of the night without the lights on, no bother. Any sniff of otherworldly trouble and I'm on it. Do not live with ghosts or spirits. They will drain you and affect your life in many ways. If you do have one, my advice is to claim your space and send it back to the maker. Even so-called friendly ones have an adverse effect on the living if you're around them for long. They cannot create their own energy, so they use yours in order to be here. And that's not good. Well, that's it for now, Kevin. Hope you enjoyed reading this story. I did. Sorry it was so long-winded. Don't apologise. It's great that you give people a chance to talk about and listen to stories about ghosts. These things do happen. It's not something that should be ignored or ridiculed. It's a normal and natural occurrence. I completely agree, Kim. You're doing a great thing giving people a platform. Hopefully it will help folk be less scared of what they can't see by hearing other people's accounts. Well, let's just hope so indeed. If you want any more to say, we used to live on an army base in Germany and our experience in our first house would have your neck crawling. Love, Kim. Kim, do us a favour. Don't sign off with teasers. Just send me the info. Yes, because that sounds amazing. And it was in Germany, and we all love Germany, yes. Be it for discos or other reasons. Kim, I don't know what to tell you. That's a series of events that would have put most people in a mental asylum, because that is terrifying. And it's exactly those sorts of stories that I want to start doing on the dark episodes, because I think we can all agree there was very few areas for levity in that, wasn't there? Really? It was, that was rather scary, to be honest. Bit scared now, I'll be quite frank with you. Speaking of Frank, there's a bit of mention of Frank in the midpoint. You'll see what I mean. But let's get there. Das Midpoint, wenn es denn Midpoint, ein Midpoint ist denn Meinenhausen, wo es denn, etc. The Midpoint is indeed in Meinenhausen, and we're going to have a Midpoint party. So prior to the Midpoint break, I did mention that we're going to mention Frank. Now, Frank is the name of my father, but that's not what we're going to talk about, to be frank. We're going to talk about Frank's boxes. Have you heard of these things? They're basically a spirit box, allegedly. And what they do is they scan through radio station frequencies at random. And allegedly, a spirit can use those frequencies to make up sentences. So, for example, if a news reporter is saying like, hey, big donuts are sale down at the auction house. And someone else is saying, an auction for donuts, bloody hell. And somebody else is saying like, my donkey's got a hole in it, hole in it. It will scan through that. So you'll get like, hello, Kevin, donkey, clean your room. And that would be somebody saying, hello, Kevin, I'm a donkey, clean your room, which I think we can all agree would be a terrifying message to receive. However, what I'm building up to here with all this nonsense is I've downloaded a Ghost Box app or a Frank's Box app or a Spirit Box app, whatever you want to call it. And I thought we'd give it a little go on the midpoint. Now, let's see. Basically, you're going to hear loads of random bits of words, but we need to see if this works and if it's going to pop out anything. So we need to ask a question, and you need to let me know if you hear any answers to these questions within what's being said within the nonsense. Let's see. Let's start off pretty simple. Is there a ghost here? I think we can all agree that was nonsense. Let's try another one. I don't know. No, I think we'll stick with the same question, actually. Is there a ghost here? You've just had a chance. Maybe you're just getting used to the technology. Yes, I'm so advanced. Is there a ghost here? Well, I think that I think we can all sensibly agree that I'm glad that this app was free. We'll give it, say, like another 10 seconds of speaking. Anything you want to say to us, ghosties? No. I mean, I could have argued audio pareidolia there, but I could have argued I had someone say Kev twice, but maybe they didn't. Maybe it's just pareidolia, which I think it is. So, you know, during the week we were talking about, me and Beck were talking about bank holidays and the fact that, like, in America, they celebrate Labor Day and Veterans Day and all things which are relative in the last 100 years. And we celebrate St. George's Day, where he killed a dragon. I was thinking about other things where we're still a little bit backwards in England. And it was like when we got married, you know, when Harry and Meghan got married, we had street parties. Now, that's all well and good. And you think, oh, how British, that's wonderful. But break it down at its very core. What's happened is us dumb villagers have went, the prince has found a bride, let's celebrate and drink. Like some Disney film, like it's the Middle Ages or something. That's what we've done. The prince found a bride and we all went out into the streets. The prince has found a bride. Say hello to your neighbours and all that. And it just bizarre. I tell you what, maybe we are living in a simulation. I don't know, but what a very Disney-based one. Anyway, that was the nonsense of the midpoint. Don't forget to send in your stories, because it does make the show move, makes it live, makes it breathe, makes a chest go up and down. Yes, send them in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and I, of course, will read them out. As I said earlier, we're running about 2 weeks behind, which is where we want to be. That's the perfect running distance for a podcast, I think, except for the story that we're going to hear in the second half, which has been begged for literally by everyone on the Facebook group. Don't forget, you can join the Facebook group. Go over to facebook.com/talkaboutghosts. Okay, that's it for the midpoint. Shall we get back to the scary? I think we shall. And we're back with the illest of behaviours. So, thank you. As I state, thank you is for Riley, who basically, as I say, she went on the Facebook group and said, my dad's got an amazing story. He doesn't believe in all this nonsense, though. So I'm going to have to bombard him with requests for him to say it. And we done it. And she bombarded him, and we now have that story. I'm holding it in my own little hands. I don't have little hands. Anyway, so how she's formatted the email, she goes right in with the dad's story, which he sent her, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to preface it with the bit she's put at the bottom. She says, Hello, Kevin. This is the story my dad was convinced to share thanks to the help from everyone in the Facebook group. My dad's a very wise and sceptical person, and I wouldn't label him as someone who believes in ghosts, which is why I've always found this story so intriguing. It isn't a cliche ghost story. I believe it provides a unique perspective on the supernatural and how not all encounters are horrifyingly negative experiences. My dad's also a great guy who goes out of his way to help everyone, so I firmly believe he would encounter a friendly ghost rather than some jerk trying to scare him. Okay, without any further ado, the story we've literally begged for from Riley's dad. August 1976. My freshman year had just concluded, and I was making my first solo venture outside of Ohio by myself. I was in Luxembourg for a summer of German classes that would satisfy my foreign language requirements for Miami University. Being a 19-year-old full of fun, I was looking for something extraordinary to occur before I started my sophomore year. Little did I know that while the US was celebrating the spirit of 76, I would be encountering a different kind of spirit, right at the grave of one of the most famous generals of World War II. History captivates me. I enjoy reading historical information and equally relish visiting places of historical significance. One day, a fellow German student named David told me that just outside of Luxembourg City, in Ham, was the Luxembourg American Cemetery and Memorial. More than 5,000 soldiers are buried there, including General George Patton. It was a short journey by bus, so we made our plans for a visit. Upon arrival, it was a somber yet stirring sight. Virtually a sea of white crosses and white stars of David, headstones row on row, with a simple cross slash headstone for General Patton facing all the other headstones. There's a small chapel near Patton's grave with some signs and other recognition items from the memorial. When David and I arrived there, there were a couple of small tour buses with a variety of people milling around. David had a serious camera, so we went to find some good shooting locations. I didn't want to be a part of the tour crowd, so I walked off with my cheap little Kodak Pocket Instamatic camera to get my own photos. In brackets, we had made the trip after classes, so we were going to lose daylight. And besides, David and I were going to a disco later that evening with a couple of girls from Norway, so we had no plans to stay very long. It seemed like out of nowhere, I heard a voice say, "What do you think of this place?" I turned and saw an elderly gentleman in a very nice suit and hat, looking a bit out of place on a warm summer day in a cemetery. He told me that if I wanted to see something amazing, then I should go to the back of the cemetery at sunset and see the sun's reflection on the cross in the chapel. He used the words, "We love seeing that cross." Still a little surprised by this man, I walked off to find David and tell him that a good photo opportunity might be coming soon. It was nearing sunset, and as the man said, it was indeed an amazing sight. With the setting sun and the doors open in the chapel, the cross was ablaze in light. It looked as though the cross was on fire. I told David that I wanted to thank the man who told me about the scene, and David was a little confused. He said that he watched me the entire time that I was at the chapel and Patton's grave, and he didn't see me talking with anyone. Since we were out of town and the buses were just about to leave, I told David that we could find the man and thank him. We checked both of those buses, but found no one fitting my description, in brackets, not even close. No one could be found. There was only one entrance in and out of the cemetery and a large amount of visibility. There is nowhere he could possibly go without someone else seeing him, and he could not have vanished as quickly as he did. To this day, I cannot explain it. David said that he never saw anyone with me, and considering my conversation with a man wearing a totally out-of-date clothing and hearing the man tell me that we love to see the cross at sunset leads me to believe that this was certainly extraordinary or something more. Either way, a memory that stayed with me all these years. And there you go. That is amazing. Riley continues. She says, "P.S. Since my dad's also a Beatles fan, I asked if he had any Beatles ghost stories." And he says, "Well, I've been to Liverpool and did the standard tour, visiting Penny Lane, Strawberry Fields, Ringo's home and Paul McCartney's home. Thousands do that, but I thought it was cool. Residents of the Dakota and New York claim they see the ghost of John Lennon from time to time. The ghost is always at a desk erasing music. Some claim this is a unique phenomenon, but others think Lennon is simply decomposing." There you have it, a ghost story and a dad joke. Thanks for reading, Riley and Father. Well, thank you very much, Riley, and Riley's dad for sending that in. What a lovely little tale. Who was the ghostly man? I love it when you get that sort of confirmation in ghost stories, you know, where somebody has a chat with a ghost and somebody else says, "No, you were on your own." They're the best sort of stories for me because you get that sort of rubber stamp of approval that something definitely mischievous and spiritual has gone on. Magnificent story. And I like it that it comes from, I think we can all agree that we enjoy it when a story comes from somebody who themselves aren't much into the paranormal. It does, it shouldn't, but it does add an extra weight of gravitas on the unbelievability. So thank you, Riley, and indeed to your father. If you have a story as good as that, which I doubt, no, I'm joking. If you have a story as good as that, which you may well have, send it in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will, of course, read it out. Okay, that has been brilliant. Shall we do some of your reviews and correspondence? I think we shall. We've had a lovely email coming from Katie, and she's basically thanked myself and Becca for doing the extra episode. She's a key worker. She's working as... she works in an old people's home, by what I can see. She's actually a psychiatrist nurse working in an acute ward, not an old people's home, sorry. And she's saying, you know, that the show really helped her, which is a weird side effect of doing the show. Me and Becca done it so that we could stay sane, but it apparently appears to have a lovely knock-on effect that it's helping people forget, which is exactly what we wanted it to do. So maybe it's not a weird side effect. Maybe it's doing as it was planned. So thank you, Katie, for getting in touch. Tone from Australia, our good friend, has been in touch. He's said he's given us a little bit of confirmation on public holidays. Thank you for that, Tony. And he's also sent a story in as well, which we'll cover in within the next couple of shows, about electric ghosts. Yeah, so I look forward to that. We've also had an email in from Patty, and she's asked when we're going to do some merch. Very good question. We're looking at that this week, actually, so should have more news on that soon. Amanda's written in. She says, hi, Kev, can you please tell me where you can listen to more of your songs? Yes, try it on Spotify, or you can go to soundcloud.com/ I think it's Kev J. Eustace. Try that. But my new album's out soon. Yes, I did want to tell you all. You may have seen on Instagram, I have a new album coming out called A Lightless Body. And I think next week it'll be ready. So next week's show, we will play out with one of my new songs. How exciting is that? Not very for you, but quite exciting for me. Yes. Anyway, let's listen to some of your reviews that you've sent in. You're bloody lovely for sending reviews in, by the way. Like we mentioned about Patreon, you know, Patreon's brilliant, and I absolutely, you wouldn't be listening to me right now if it wasn't for the patrons. But if you can't do Patreon, that's absolutely fine. The show is free. But by all means, if you can, go and leave a nice review. Yeah, it all helps. It all helps, Gavner. That's my cockney there. But yes, let's listen to some of your reviews. I say listen to, I'm going to read them out. You're going to listen. I shouldn't have had to explain that really, but I'm in a very meta mode today. I don't know why. Anyway, reviews. We've had some beautiful reviews come in, so thank you sincerely. All 5-star, 3 of them come in, and you're just lovely people. What can I say? What can I say? First one is entitled, My Quarantine Go-To, 5 stars. I really love the extra episodes, We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts, that Kevin and Becca have recorded during quarantine. I actually listen to those first when I go for a run. It makes me feel like everything is going to be okay. Oh, God bless you. I can listen to you both go on about your daily business all day. It really makes me feel a sense of normalcy. You are both so funny and positive. I hope you can continue to share your life on the podcast. Don't get me wrong, I love ghost stories too. And that's from Goblin63 in the US of A. So thank you, Goblin63. Yes, as we stated, even when quarantine's gone, we are still going to do a couple of months of the Don't Need to Talk About. Because they're fun, we enjoy doing them. But thank you for your review. Next one, thanks, 5 stars. Have been listening for at least 6 months. Love it. And love the fact you turned me on to Emma and Dan also. Real life ghost stories there. Yes, well done, Emma and Dan. Oh, we turned them on to you. Well, let me read that again. Have been listening for 6 months. Got it. Love it, and love the fact you turned me on to Emma and... Oh, you got them through us. Oh, that's lovely. That's good to know. It's normally the other way, because they're massive, massive. I have consistently been working through these times, and you've made it hilarious. Love the quizzes and your banter. Keep up the amazing work. And that's from There's a Look at That, via Apple Podcasts in the US of A. Well, thank you, There's a Look at That. Oh, it could be Teresa. Teresa, look at that, not There's a Look at That. Sorry about that. All the words are together. No spaces, you see. Next one, Dynamic Duo. Ooh, like Batman and Robin. 5 stars. Kevin and Becca are a hoot. It's always a treat, and Kev's reactions during the stories is the best. Thank you. And that's from L80 Law via Apple Podcasts, US of A. Well, thank you for your lovely reviews. As I say, if you can't give to Patreon, that's a nice thing to do because it helps the show, I believe. I don't know how, if I'm being honest. Helps our egos. I know that much. The ego has landed. Anyway. In the meantime and in between time, guys, we're going to wrap things up here for now. You can join us through the week when we'll be releasing some We Don't Need to Talk About Ghost episodes. As the title says, myself and Becca will just be shooting the breeze. If you sign over to Patreon at patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghost, you will see the entire back catalogue of all of our extra episodes we've put out. And today's episode where me and Becca, on the weekend basically for Patreon, me and Becca try and discuss something paranormal. To keep in line with the standard show, which is We Need to Talk About Ghosts. So I'm about to go upstairs and try and convince her to talk about ghosts, which should be fun to catch on tape. So if you want to listen to that, go over there. If you want to send a story in, which keeps the show afloat, of course, verbally, then go over to contact, don't go over to, just send an email to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And when I read them out. Yes, and that's how the show lives. I just want to say thank you to you all, guys, for getting in touch, keeping the show alive and making it what it is. It really does mean the absolute world to me and Becca during these times. I'm sure everybody's feeling it, you know. The world's not a great place at the minute. But I think if we can, you do need time to meditate almost. I know I've been using podcasts like that. So just put your earphones in, slip away to another nice place where the only thing you need to worry about is whether Kev's going to stutter. And that's all right, isn't it? It's not a bad worry to have. Okay, guys, take care of yourselves and each other. As Jerry Springer says, I'm not embarrassed for stealing this catchphrase. I'm going to run with it, literally. And we will speak to you all through the week. Tatty bye.